Father, we thank you for everything that you are. For everything that you are. Everything that you are. Hallelujah. I don't know who's here. I play some phone calls. The Holy Ghost prophesied through Gary Carpenter, I believe, that the slower, we're going to walk slower. And the fast, we're going to walk faster. Do I want to be with those that walk faster? Yes. But I can't slow down because some are walking slower. And I won't slow down. I'm on a mission with you. I'm on a mission with you, collectively and corporately. We are on a mission. After yesterday, I have the more respect for those in this church than I ever have in my life. I mean, a tremendous respect for you warriors. Tremendous respect. I think everybody's sitting down. Are they sitting up or are you standing? You can sit down, okay. Have ears to hear tonight. Because you're crazy for coming to this church. You are crazy. I had a talk with Melody earlier. I was rejoicing and crying at the same time. She doesn't have a clue. I was rejoicing and crying at the same time. She's going to, our young adults one day, teach them on a Sunday night, teach them the importance of dating according to your spirit. She can write a book about that. Those of you that are looking for Mrs. Curves, you're way off in the left field. Or you know what? The guys always get the blame, but you girls are looking for a guy that looks like me, you're way off. You're way off. My wife didn't even say amen. She did not even say amen. But I heard her today and she's so impressive. She's always been my hero. Always. Always been my hero. She's always been my hero. And she can teach it. She's going to pretty soon on Sunday night to the young adults and teaches the importance of listening to your inner witness, regardless of the cost, regardless of the attachment, regardless of the love. Our spirit has been quickened. The glory of God abides in me and you. That's what we live out of. The glory of God. Yesterday, I had a day. Kathy, I called you about it, didn't I, Kathy? Okay. And it wasn't a good one. See, there's a misconception in the kingdom. I hear a lot of people talk about, well, if I could just pray long, all the problems will go away. You dummy. No sabes nada. You don't know nothing. You don't have a clue. Oh, my God, that is far from the truth. You know why? Because as you walk, the life of God walks in your spirit. And guess what else follows you? Not the devil. Your flesh. And your flesh is stubborn. Now I know it's going to take the Holy Ghost today, because there's a lot of stuff that I had to go over, and I had to pull some history up. It's gonna be patient with me tonight. I had a day yesterday. Thank God Reuben came, because he saved me about 3 hours of misery. We were talking, and he made my morning seem short because we talked for a long time. I was mad. I felt so much opposition, not from Satan. That punk is defeated. My flesh was barking like a 200-pound pit bull filled with solid muscles. I felt so aggravated. I got here about 7:30. I worshiped the Lord, had a good time, and then I felt my flesh. I felt it, and it was strong. I wanted to cuss. What did you want to say? You don't want to know what I wanted to say. Now I know why Christians fail, because it's so much easier to give in to what you feel. It's so, because that seems to be the dominant force in us. If we feel it, we might as well just do it. Because if we do what we feel, it's complete. That feeling that we felt, whether it's anything in the broad sense, I fulfilled the feeling, I am satisfied. It's always easier to go with that dogmatic voice of the flesh than to go with the whisper from our spirit. That's why there is failure in the body of Christ. That's why I have failed as a man of God. That's why I have failed as a preacher in the past. I have gone so much by what I feel instead of by that which is right. Instead of living out of the glory of God that lives within my spirit. The Bible says sin has no dominion over us. Okay, I know that. I've read it and I hear it. You've heard it and you've read it. The only one problem with that verse. Sin shall have no dominion over you. That's what my Bible says. That's what your Bible says. That's what I hear out of my Bible. That's what you hear out of your Bible. Sin shall have no dominion over you. Romans 6, as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For sin shall not have dominion over you. We know the Bible says that. We hear the Bible when it says that. But do we always feel like sin does not have dominion over us? Not at all. If we... Sin shall not have dominion over you. We remember it, but we don't feel it. Our feelings sometimes supersede what we remember. Or should I say, more than what we want, those feelings seem to dominate us. How do you know? Because it's evident in the body. It's evident in our lives. It's evident. If I feel it, I might as well just do it. Right? One problem. Our flesh has no respect for our spirit. I mean, none, everything in our flesh completely opposes the righteousness and the holiness that springs forth out of our spirit. Everything about our flesh contradicts what's in our spirit. Everything. It opposes. Our flesh is so puffed up. Our flesh has not recognized, nor will it ever come to the conclusion that it is subservient to our spirit, man. It will never reach that. It will never, our flesh will never receive that revelation that it is subservient to our spirit. Never. You can fast, you can pray. Our flesh will always try to be a dictator and oppose the life of God that lives in me and you. Always, to the day that we die, our flesh will bark like a solid black 200-pound pit bull full of muscle. Wouldn't that look intimidating to you? A solid black pit bull, 200 pounds, nothing but muscle. So I'm on your side a little bit. It'd be awesome if we felt that verse all the time. Wouldn't it? If we could just feel sin shall have no dominion over us. Wouldn't it be awesome to feel that verse 100% of the time throughout the day? Wouldn't it be awesome to feel it? Because if you felt it, what would we do? If you felt sin shall have no dominion over me, if you felt it, I mean, if you really felt it, like you feel that one thing that you know is not right, if you felt it, then we'd probably what? Exactly right. That's the war, my friends. The war is the flesh versus the spirit versus the flesh. That is the war. That is the war. Satan has been defeated. The old man in us that was the dictator has been plucked out, and a new man lives inside of us. We have been born again. You have to, this is not what I'm going to teach about tonight, but you have to grasp this. This is why there's failure, because we do that what we feel to do. Because it's a dogmatic feeling, and our flesh seems to have a deeper, stronger, more intimidating voice than the whisper out of our spirit. Still, that is not an excuse at all in my life or in your life. We have to conclude We have to conclude, I'm failing because I choose to. I gave myself over to a predominant dogmatic feeling from my flesh and not the whisper of my spirit. Let me bear with you here. I have made mistakes that I'm not proud of. You have made mistakes that have cost you dearly. I have made mistakes that have cost me dearly. There's good news in that. We have 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We're cleansed of our sin. Nonetheless, there were repercussions. Amen? There were repercussions. This church is almost filled with outcasts. I don't mean that in a bad sense. Wait till I finish before you pass judgment on what I'm going to say. You have, and if at any time when you hear this teaching, I'm going to use a lot of people as an example in a good sense. How many of you know in the old covenant, there was a bunch of ites, Jebusites, Canaanites, Levites, Hittites, I mean, all kind of ites. There was, and I had about 20 of them memorized. They just left. There was a, everybody was an ite. Tacomanite. There was a bunch of ites. How many of you know we got a bunch of ites in here? A bunch of ites. We got Reuben, the almost twice deadite. No, listen. Don't laugh. Listen. Reuben, the almost twice deadite. You got Delia, the almost once deadite. You got Rex, the almost once deadite. You got Kathy, a woman with grew up with no father and no motherless-ite. You got Homer, the ex-blindite. You got Alan Taylor, the ex-stroke-ite. You got Gary Carpenter, the ex-cancerite. We got a bunch of ites. We got a bunch of people that, you got Pastor Dave Roberson, the three losing my son-ite, that's still walking with Jesus. You got a bunch of ites here. You got a bunch of people here that have made mistakes. I've made mistakes. You've made mistakes that have cost you dearly. I've made mistakes that have cost me dearly. But the mistake that you've made that has cost you dearly and the mistake that I've made that has cost me dearly has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Therein is your comfort. Therein is my comfort. This sermon is not about that. This is about this last push into this outpouring. This is about those of you that have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. This is for the elite of the elite. This is for the elite of the elite. To see if you're ready to make that final push into this revival. You are my heroes. And what the Holy Ghost showed me yesterday, you are my heroes. You know why? Because you're still here. All you hear about this church is fasting, praying, worship, and denying yourself. We don't have the fellowship dinners. We don't go knocking on doors. There's nothing wrong with it. The book of Acts, it said to me that from what I read in the book of Acts, it said the Lord added to the church daily. He added to the church daily. We want to go out, knock door to door with no power whatsoever. No power. Think about it. Everybody wants to go knocking door to door with no power. Nothing. No power whatsoever. Me included. But Acts said that the Lord added that such as should be saved daily. But before Pentecost, they were in one accord. And after Pentecost, they were in one accord. Those that greatly received the word believed and were baptized and remained in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread with prayer. And they said this, and they remained in the temple daily. We don't get stars by our name in heaven on a poster board by attending church. We don't get stars, but you know what? What is it in us that doesn't want to come to church? Think about it now. I guarantee you, those that come late habitually or that miss church habitually, I guarantee you there's some inconsistencies in your life with the Father. I guarantee you. I've heard it from people themselves. I need to tighten up. I need to do this and that. What you're saying is, I've been slipping a little bit in my walk with Christ, because in these last days, I get so excited about coming here, man. I get ultra excited. And never is my words to condemn. We are the elite of the elite. Not because we're special, because we have no quitting sense. None whatsoever. We have no quitting sense. And when I have missed church habitually, it's because I was struggling. I can write a book on struggling and legitimate excuses why, as I couldn't come to church 3 years ago. I could write a book on the lies that I offered to Pastor Brock. I had to work late. No, I made myself work late because I didn't want to come to church. I'm speaking for myself now. But you, my friends, are the elite of the elite. When a football player lifts weights, works out all week long, a high school football player, his glory starts at 7:30 on Friday, right? That's kickoff. You lift weights all week long. You pump weights. You listen to the coach. You go over plays, and your glory is at 7:30 Friday night. When you work all week long, week to week, at 5 o'clock usually on Fridays is your time of glory, because you finna get paid. Okay. You might get mad at me. I don't care. Not anymore. If you pray and seek God all week long, if you're reading your Bible and seeking God all week long and not entertaining the flesh and not giving yourself over to the flesh, what are you going to want to do Wednesday at 7 o'clock? What are you going to want to do Sunday at 10? 2 + 2 = 4. It's not 3. You are the elite of the elite because you are still here. You have no quitting sense whatsoever. None. How do I know? Because you're here. You're crazy if you come here. You're crazy. You are the elite of the elite. Not because he's chosen you to be the elite of the elite, but because you know that what is taught here is absolute truth, and we cannot run from it. We cannot run from it. Make no mistake, as your spirit grows, your flesh is going to follow. Every day we must choose to put on and to put off. Our flesh is not scared of your spirit, man. Our flesh has no respect for what we stand for at core in spirit. When Goliath, the Philistines, fought Israel, do you know that the Philistines were already in the country of Israel already? So the flesh has no respect for the spirit, man. Goliath was already in Judah, the land that belonged to Israel. When Goliath challenged Israel, he challenged men that had the word of God. My mindset was this: how in the world can an uncircumcised man have the audacity to challenge a people that have God's word? What would ever make him think that he had the power and the authority to challenge God's chosen people? He was already in Judah. When he saw David, he walked towards David. He walked towards the armies of Israel, and he challenged every single one of them that had a covenant with God. How could an uncircumcised man think that he had the authority and the power to challenge God's people that had God's word, that were of the circumcision? How could 20,000 men be scared of one man that was not of the circumcision? How could 20,000, including a king, be scared of one man that did not have the law? One man challenged 20,000 men of Israel, and not one of them, including the king, had the audacity and the intestinal fortitude to stand up to one man that was not of the circumcision. So you tell me the flesh is going to go away because we're fasting and praying. The flesh will always be. But fasting and praying will keep it in check, and it makes hard decisions easier and easier to make as we mortify the deeds of the body. So the Philistines were already in Judah. Goliath, which is a shadow of the flesh from how I read it, walked towards David, the spirit man. Goliath walked towards the armies of Israel. Covenant of the circumcision, they had God's word. How could a man that was under circumcision, of not of the circumcision, intimidate 20,000 men that had the law of God? He had no regard for men that had the law of God. How could he ever intimidate 20,000 men with words? All he had was words. I tell you how, because the 20,000 men that had the word of God had no regard for the word. So he had no regard for those that had the word, because the ones that had the word had no regard for the word that they had. You with me on that? Men that had a covenant with God, that had the law, were defeated by the words of a giant. David is incredible to me. Incredible. I walked to the bathroom yesterday and I walked back. And I was just walking, I began to weep. I heard the word Navy SEALs in my spirit. I'm not going to tell you it was God. I'm not going to tell you it was him. I'm short to say it was the Holy Ghost. And when I walked back, I leaned on the door and I began to think of Reuben and Delia. Are they here? Are they here or not? Does anybody know they're here? And I began to think about Reuben and Delia. And I began to weep. I mean, I just began to weep. I heard Navy SEALs, and then I thought about Reuben and Delia. I thought about them. And I began to weep. Thought about Kathy and Julio. I began to weep. Rex and Marsha. I began to weep. The old warriors that have been here for a while. I began to weep. Began to cry. Now David, we'll go back to that thought. Had mighty men in his army, according to 2 Samuel chapter 23 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11 or 12. Mighty men. Let me ask you a question. Why not us, Kathy, that can usher in a revival? Why not us? Why not us? Well, Reuben, the almost twice dead deadite. Delia, the almost once dead deadite. Kathy grew up motherless, fatherless. Homer, the ex-blindite. Rex, the almost deadite. Alex's father was murderedite. Everything's against us, it seems like, in the flesh. But why not us? Because of our past mistakes? Because of our failures? Because of what we've done, or because of what we've said? you are one tough cookie. Wednesday night is the core night. When those that don't care about themselves show up to church. And you, my friends, you do not care about yourselves, or you wouldn't come week in and week out. David had mighty men. And the mighty men that he had were men of valor that fought for the king. You, my friends, are women and men of valor. I'm going to prove it to you. You are men and women of valor. Only crazy people come to this church. Not everybody's going to swallow what we have to offer here. Very few will. If you come here, don't expect to preach. Don't expect to teach. Expect to sit down, grow in God, and if the opportunity arises, Pastor Bront will pray, he'll hear God, and then you'll speak. That's why some don't last here. They want to preach. They want to teach. They don't agree with the vision, so they leave. They leave. Plain and simple. They leave. I don't even invite people to our church sometimes because I know what we say is going to be real hard for them to swallow. I know it is. This is a no-excuse gospel. And it's hard to swallow it. Because all the blame lies on us, not on anybody else. David had mighty men. When I read the list of the men of valor, I would weep and cry. He had men like Abishai. Catch this image. Abishai. One man killed 300 at one time. One man. Catch this image. One man killed 300 at one time. One man, David's mighty man of valor, his chiefs and his captains. One man, Abishai, killed 300 men. Eliezer, the son of Dodo, defended a field of barley. He killed so many Philistines in one day that his hand grew weary and the sword clave to his hand. He swung that thing all day long where the sword physically stuck to his hand. He was one of David's mighty men. Benaiah killed two men of Moab that had faces of lions. Benaiah killed two men of Moab that were like lions. He went into a pit in the snow and killed a lion. Benaiah killed an Egyptian that was over 5 cubits in height, over 7 feet tall, and he had a spear like a weaver's beam. Benaiah had a staff in his hand. Went to the giant that was over 5 cubits, took the spear out of his hand with a staff, and killed him with his own spear. Adonai, a Tokemite, one man killed 800 with a spear. One man killed 800 with a spear. One man. So why not you, Miss Kathy? Why not you, Miss Marcia, that can change this world and turn it upside down for Jesus? Why not us in this little town? Why not us? Shammah defended a field of lentils, fought with a troop of Philistines, and defended the field of lentils. Basically, he said, these are my beans, boy. You ain't gonna get them. This is my land. This is my property. You're gonna have to go through me. One man annihilated a garrison, annihilated a troop. One man. Just showing me, I think is his name. One man killed 300 by himself. 300. One man. One man. David in the cave of Adullam. Craved a drink of water one day from a well at Bethlehem. He said, oh, that my soul could taste of the water of the well by the gate at Bethlehem. There was a garrison of Philistines there. He said, oh, that someone would give me a drink from the well at the gate of Bethlehem. They would give me a drink of that well water that's there. That water must have been so precious. Three men, three of the 30, broke through a troop to get their king, Miss Kathy, a glass of water. Went through an enemy, a garrison, a troop of Philistines. Three men broke through for what reason? To give their king the water that he wanted. Three men that did not regard their life. The Bible says that they put their lives in jeopardy to get their king a glass of water that he wanted from the well. All these men were men of valor that had no regard for their life. No regard at all. I don't know. 800 men with a spear at one time. 800 men at one time with a spear. Abishai, 300 at one time. Benaniah, two men of Moab with lion faces. A lion in a snowy pit he killed. A giant from Egypt, over 7 foot tall. He killed him with his own spear, and all he had was a staff. The Gadites that could had the faces of lions, men of valor, whose feet were like rolls, were on David's side. Men of valor that did not regard their life. You, my friends, do not regard your life. Reuben has been twice almost dead. He's still here. Delia has been once dead, 27 days hospital. She is still here. Rex was almost dead. He is still here. Kathy's had a heck of a time with her boys once put away. She's still here. I can't see right now, and I'm still here, and I'm not going anywhere. Ben has been believing for her family, for her husband for years. She still comes. Ralph faced death several times. He's still here. That lets me know that you are making yourself the elite of the elite. You don't care about yourself. The Father needs people like you in his kingdom. Those men of valor, they didn't care about personal glory. Can you imagine three men going through a troop in a garrison to get their king water? Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well at the gate at Bethlehem. He wasn't physically telling them to go. He was just craving the water. These men heard their king. And they broke through a troop. Think about this now. Three men, they had to let down the water pail into the well, roll it back up again, fill it with water, and put it into a container. Think about that now. Three men against a troop. How do you pull that off? How does one man kill 800 with a spear? How? How does one kill a lion in a pit when there's snow in this? How does one do that? How does one kill a giant over 7 feet tall? How? Why do you keep coming back to this church? There's something in you, my friend. There's something in you that far surpasses the appetites of your flesh. Every single one of you that comes here habitually, there's something in you that's crying out, I believe what's being taught. I believe that this is the apostles' doctrine. You have my uttermost respect. Reuben, almost twice dead. Ralph, almost dead several times. Basically, what Reuben's saying without even saying it is, okay, I faced death twice. I got some battle wounds on me. Stitch me up. I'm going back to the front line one more time. Ralph, facing death. Okay, stitch me up. You shot me with an arrow. Stitch me up. Where are you going, Ralph? I'm going back to the battle line. Kathy, you know what you've been through? Little Rick's there. What are you doing, Kathy? Stitch me up. It hurts. I've been shot with an arrow. Stitch me up. I'm going back to the battle line. Rex, you face death. What are you doing tomorrow, Rex? I'm going to church. Stitch me up. I'm going back to the battle line. I do not know how to retreat. You don't know how to retreat. Why? Because you are here. Homer, you can't see. Stitch me up. I'm going back to the battle line. No retreat. No surrender. We go forward like good soldiers of Jesus Christ. They told me I would never be nothing in my life. I went to a church in town many years ago on Main Street. They didn't even want me there. Can't blame them though. You're crazy. All of you. You're crazy. Kevin, moving down from Dallas, you're crazy. No job. He's been looking. Closed door here, closed door there. Where are you going, Kevin? Stitch me up. I'm going to the front line. Stitch me up. I got an arrow here, an arrow there, two in my back. Take the arrow out. Stitch me up. I'm going back to the front line. Stitch me up. Let's get on with this. When I walked back from the bathroom, I heard Navy SEALs. I'm not going to tell you the Holy Ghost whispered that to me. But I thought of Reuben and Daddy, and I began to weep. I had to lean on the door as I thought all the hell that Reuben's gone through. But my friend is still soldiering. Delia, still soldiering. Kathy, Julio, still soldiering. Ralph, Rex, Marsha, Alex, Renee, Carl, Kevin, Emily, whoever else is here, still soldiering. The Navy SEALs, did a little research on them with Corey, helped me a lot. Daniel, within a guy that was in the Navy, called me last night from Tulsa. I heard Navy SEALs. Whether I brought it upon myself, I don't know if it was the Holy Ghost or not, I don't know. But I will tell you this, war is not the Father's best. But when there's atrocities taking place overseas, when there's murders, rapes, and killings of innocent people, as still to an extent a God-fearing country, it's our responsibility to defend those that cannot defend themselves. Does the Father want war? No. But people have to be dealt with sometimes. They have to be dealt with. God's minister does not bear the sword in vain. A Navy SEAL established in 1962 by John F. Kennedy. I got a last minute email from Oralia's husband that's in the Navy. So if anybody would know about the Navy SEALs, it would be him. Thousands apply, Miss Kathy. I say Kathy because he's my friend. We grew up together. Thousands apply for the Navy SEALs. Thousands. Only hundreds are accepted. And only dozens make it. Look around. you tell me you don't have what it takes to receive this outpouring. Thousands apply. Hundreds are received as applicants, and only dozens of the hundreds of the thousands make it to Navy SEAL status. They got a disposition. They got a philosophy. No one left behind. Reuben and Julio are in Afghanistan. Behind enemy lines, me, Kevin, and Carl are there on this side. We got out of there. Reuben and Julio were there. Kevin, Carl, Renee, you ready? Where are you going? My brothers are behind the enemy lines. Reuben's wounded. Julio's wounded. Kevin, they'd go back for us. Put it here, Kevin. Put it here, Carl. Let's make a pact. We don't come back till Julio and Reuben are in our grasp. We're not coming back. Let's make a pact. We're going to bring Reuben and Julio back. Navy SEALs are trained to work in all kind of atmospheres. The guy John from Tulsa told me last night that they can bury themselves in the sand, completely smothered in sand, and can somehow manage their own heartbeat, immersed in sand. And the enemy can physically walk over them immersed in sand and they still breathe. They are so trained for battle. So trained. They have no self-glory. They're fighting for a country. They're trained to kill. I know that. We're trained to save lives. But man, we can sure learn from that group. We are not each other's enemies. Reuben is my brother. Rex is my brother. I gotta go get him. Why not us? Why not us? Why can't we cause a revival? Because we've made mistakes? I wrote the book on mistakes. You might have come in second. I wrote the book on mistakes. But why can't Rex, the once almost deadite, cause a revival? Or Barbara Fish, the prayer warriorite, cause a revival? Why can't Ralph, the once almost deadite, cause a revival? Or Homer, the ex-blindite, cause a revival? Because we think we're insignificant? Because we've made mistakes that are washed in the blood of Jesus? You want to talk about being insignificant and make it to king's stature? Look at King David, a shepherd. Why can't we bring this outpouring to this town? Because we love people and love Jesus. Why can't we do it? We are not insignificant. We're sons and daughters with a spiritual DNA filled with the Holy Ghost. Why can't we usher this in? Because of our past failures? Or is the blood of Jesus not sufficient to wash us and cleanse us of those past failures? Why can't Melody not be part of this great outpouring? Or Alex? I commend all of you young adults that are saying, look, I love you. I want to be with you, but I'm not leaving my station. I'm not leaving headquarters. God has ordained me and called me to Immokalee, Florida, to usher in a revival, and I am not leaving my post. I am not leaving it. I commend you. Many are called, but few are chosen, my friend. You're making yourself chosen. Hats off to every single one of you. We live for no glory. We do not live to be heard. We do not live to be seen. We live to bring the risen Savior an absolute positive glory that only belongs to Him. Only to Him. We all have our parts in this revival. We have entrepreneurs here. Don't you forget, the money that you make is for the kingdom. Let me remind you, the money you make is for the kingdom, to finance this great outpouring. Don't forget. I'm not putting pressure on any of you. I'm establishing and reiterating to you what you already know. It does not belong to you. It belongs to the kingdom. Preachers or teachers that are here, if you want to be heard, then you're not qualified to be heard. If you can't wait to preach, then you probably never will in this church, because if you can't wait to preach, then it's because you want to be heard and you want to be seen. There's no room for that here. I can see Kathy being a mother to thousands, not growing up with a mother and a father. I can see her ministering to thousands of women. And I don't say that. I mean that with all my heart. Thousands of women, not growing up with a mother and not growing up with a father. Yet she still comes every single week, not using that as an excuse of what she didn't have growing up. She still keeps plowing and plowing and plowing and plowing and plowing and plowing, because she knows that what we're teaching is absolute truth and it's going to usher in that rain from heaven. Barbara Fish has prayed sometimes for years by herself for us on Sunday nights. That's not going to be in vain. Her and Benny have toiled for years. Years. None of this that we do is in vanity. None of it. The Navy SEALs have a disposition. So do we. We do not quit. We would rather die than quit. At least I would, my friends. I heard Melody today. I can't tell you what we talked about. She spoke magnificent valor to me. Pastor Homer, with this, this, and that. But I belong to Him. Yes, you do. Pastor Omar, how do you do it? How do you stay so excited that you can't see? These eyes aren't born again. My spirit is. The Navy SEALs do what nobody else does. They go behind enemy lines with one mindset. We have to do this. My friends, we have to do this. Recalculate your days. Rethink your agendas. Judge your prayer time. What is it in us? Again, you have to catch this. You have to catch where I'm coming from. We do not receive stars next to our name in heaven for church attendance. But what is it that talks you out of calling church insignificant? Think about it. I'm not talking about church attendance. What devil from hell talked you into it? If church is not that important, then why does Satan try to talk you out of it all the time? If it's not that important, why? I see every Wednesday and every Sunday as a briefing for war. As a briefing for war. Sometimes we're not going to make, we know that. We have kids. We know that. I'm not talking legalism. I'm talking about the days when you're capable of coming, when you're at warfare. The first thing that drops in our life is church attendance. If it's not that important, then why is that the first thing that stops? Because that's Satan whispering logic in our ears. Don't you know that that Wednesday, it might have been a breakthrough for you? I heard a teaching my pastor Bronk about believing God for your healing, yet eating what you want. That's a double standard. That's not faith. That's wrong believing. And that helped me so much. I can confess, and pollute my body. It's not going to happen. I heard that on a Wednesday. Now, my eating habits have gone bad, but I eat bad when I come off a fast. I go crazy. I go ballistic. Ask Ruben. He saw me at Taco Bell the other day. But what do? Miss Kathy, do we keep marching or do we quit? We march. If we get shot, we take the bullet out, stitch me up, and let's march. What do? We keep marching. No man left behind. We march. Don't abandon your assignment. Don't abandon your post. You're called to so much more. At that day when we utter our last breath and we gave it all we had here on earth, when we utter that last breath, Mr. Julio, we utter that last breath, our spirit leaves us and ascends to heaven. We open up our eyes in glory. We'll thank Pastor Dave Roberson for the truth that he brought us. Open up my eyes to that glory. And the Lamb of God welcomes me in, to me walking in love. He's not only wanting to see your brother born again. I got a neighbor up the road that's bound up in a wheelchair, man. True love wants to see people delivered by the oppression of the devil. I hate seeing people bound up. I'm not ready to go to heaven yet. I'm not ready to go. I don't want to go yet. My dad's not born again yet. I don't want to go to heaven yet. I want to stay here and I want to see that outpouring. I want to see my brother Reuben in the spirit receive two brand new kidneys and a brand new heart so that God may be glorified, my friends, because there is a cause. That's what I want to see. I want to see him testify to millions about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to see. I want to see Corey fulfill his call, grabbing this mic and preaching the gospel in power. That's what I want to see. You guys are my heroes, and I mean that with all my heart. You don't know what it is to quit. You've been toiling here for years. Toiling for years. No programs. No ministries. No singles group. No married group. No cat club or dog club. Prayer, fasting, and self-denial. It's about Jesus. So if you come here and you want to be part of a club, you're not going to last too long. I can tell you that right now. This is a training center. Like Ruben said yesterday, this is a hospital for the sick, my friend. So why not Homer, the ex-blindite? Why not Malene Joseph? And I ask for permission to say this. The ex-molestedite. Why not Malene Joseph, the ex-molestedite? Why not Emily, the Golden Gateite? Why not Kathy, growing up without a mother and fatherite? Why not us? David rose to supremacy as a shepherd to king over God's army. Why not us? We are worthy through his blood. We can do this, my friends. Why not us? Miss Rosie, why not us? Why not us, Miss Marcia? Miss Venna, why not us? Why not us, Miss Barbara? I say, yay. We got this. Reuben, we got this, Reuben. No retreat. Oh, what if you live your life not seeing again? That means I didn't believe the word of God. Because his word is faithful, and it's holy, and it's undefiled. Pure than the purest of gold. I will not retreat. See, I grew up with Kathy. She's not like my sister. She's my sister. That's why I crack on her a lot, because I can get away with it. When I call her a warrior, I text her. She might think it is just something that I say. I don't just send stuff to people just because I feel like saying it randomly. I mean it. Barbara Fish is a warrior. Vene is a warrior. Rex, Ralph, you're warriors. Corey, Alex, Kevin, Carl, you're warriors. Malene, Emily, you are warriors. If not, you wouldn't come to this little church in Immokalee, Florida, filled with 29 Mexican restaurants. Pastor Bronk, Gary Flint, he is a warrior. Miss Candy is a warrior. My wife is a warrior. She is the wife of a warrior. She is the wife of a warrior. I never thought I could. I heard Rebecca St. James say one time, until you find something worth dying for, you're not really living. Catch that image. Unless you find something worth dying for, you're not really living. You're crazy for coming here, man. You're so crazy for coming here. Am I preaching legalism? No, I'm preaching relationship. I'm preaching that every Wednesday and Sunday there's briefings here. As the elite of the elite, soldiers do not miss briefings habitually. What Pastor Bronk has been uttering has been second to none. Every service to me gets us closer and closer to that outpouring. Every single service, every Wednesday and every Sunday, gets us closer and closer to understanding and comprehending and having our eyes enlightened to absolute truth. One step closer and closer to that outpouring. Do we have lives? We have kids? Yes, we do. Pastor Bronton, he's got a grandson that's going to be playing T-ball on Fridays. Guess what Pastor Bronton's going to do on Fridays on occasion? Go watch his son play T-ball. Amen. There's no legalism here. But what I'm saying is, when it doesn't even bother you that you miss church, there's a devil behind that, my friend. A smooth talking devil. And before you know it, you don't even know that he whispered in your ear. You are a soldier. Delia, you are a soldier. Let's finish this. Benaiah, two men of Moab with faces like lions. Benaiah went into a pit in the snow and killed a lion. Benaiah went and slew an Egyptian over 5 cubits in height that had a spear like a weaver's beam. Benaiah had a staff, took the spear out of his hand and killed him with his own spear. Adono, a Tokamite, one man killed 800 with one spear at one time. Shammah defended a field of lentils. Eliezer, the son of Dodo, swung his sword so much he killed so many Philistines that the sword stuck to his hand. Abishai killed 300 by himself. Why can't Kathy be the mother of 50,000? Why can't Carl win over the nation of Haiti? Why can't he? Why can't Kevin go back to Dallas and cause an everlasting revival in Dallas? Don't think you're not worthy. You are worthy. You've made mistakes. So have I. But the blood of the Lamb of God has washed me clean. Why not Melody? Why not Melody being the mother of 50,000? Why not Melody? Why not Oralia? Why not us? Why not Julio funneling millions into the kingdom? Why not him? They've been here for 12 years soldiering. 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 Why not Ralph being a father to 50,000? Why not Ralph laying his hand and saying, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say to you, arise. Why not Ralph? David had his man of valor. Jesus has his sheep of compassion. Let's finish this. Let's finish this. There'll be opposition today. There'll be opposition tomorrow. Rex, let us finish this melody. Let's finish. Do not abandon your post. And if you do, no condemnation. We love you. But don't abandon what God's called you to do in this city. Right now, we don't see it. Trust me, the day's going to come where we're going to have a bunch of friends because they all know we attend here. They're going to say, Julio and Kathy, can y'all get me in the church? Please, please, please. Mark my words. Come on, Julio, I know you've been going there for 12 years. Can you get me? I know it's crowded. There's traffic all the way to 82. Julio, can you get me in? Well, maybe I can, maybe I can't. See, you can't see that now. You can't see that now. We're going to have the property all around us. Police control, right, Miss Barbara? Is Barbara here? Okay. Police control. It's going to take more than two pastors to minister and usher this revival, my friends. That's what I told Kevin today. It's going to take more than two men. They're going to have to be taught on how to worship, on about our prayer language, on the baptism. They're going to have to be taught. There's got to be women, mothers of Israel here that are going to have to teach. Why not you? Why not me? Because I can't see for right now. Because I seem insignificant. I can't articulate. I'm not even smart. My flesh tells me, Homer, you've lost 2 years of your life. My spirit says, oh no, boy, you've gained so much more. Okay, so I missed my boy hitting a couple home runs. I missed it. But for the last 2 years, my spirit has been so edified. You are making yourself chosen. Do not abort. Do not abort. Like Pastor Bronk taught us about a year ago, you have your mountain. Lock and load, my friends. Let's fire back. We have one demeanor. We're going to hold our ground. We're going to hold our ground. We're going to hold our ground. Shama said, these are my lentils. This is my field. Let's get at it, Philistines. Elizur, the son of Dodo, said, this field of barley belongs to me. Come on, let's get it on. We need to say, this is Immokalee, Florida. These are my loved ones. They belong to me. Therefore, I'll follow you. I'll deny myself and I'll take up my cross daily so that you can work in me, Holy Father, so that your glory may be magnified throughout this whole region so that all may know that you are Christ. Thought we were for 3 hours yesterday. That's all he talked about. Homer, I want to get healed. I want everybody to see the power of God. So do I. I don't want to be and have another operation. I want to go to Dr. Marconi and say, sir, you gave it your best shot. You said I'd never see again. The specialist from University of Miami said, you'll never see again. The lady from Fort Myers said, you'll never see again. But Dr. Marconi was a good doctor. We developed a friendship. He gave it all he had. I got a stack of papers about 2 inches thick. They went through my eyes over and over again, sleepless nights, pain after pain, where I couldn't sleep for a month. I can't wait till I take that paperwork to Dr. Marconi. thank you for all you did. But see, sir, you see these 2 inches of papers here that showed all that I went through? See, I know this Jewish man named Jesus Christ. I'm calling the Messiah. I do. Matthew 8 says, Dr. Mercani, that himself took our infirmities and he bore our sickness. And I thank you, Dr. Mercani, that we developed a relationship. But Jesus Christ has opened these eyes. And I would ask you for a job, Dr. Mercani, but you'll go out of business. We'll get everybody healed. Why not us? Why not us, Miss Barbara? Why not us, Julio? Ruben, Delia? Why not us? David, first closing, Corey, was a shepherd, ended up being a king. I've made mistakes. You've made mistakes. The blood of Christ flows freely. Let's finish, Melody. Let's finish. Alex, let's finish. Kevin, let's finish. Ralph, let's finish. Vene, let's finish. Oralia, let's finish. Marsha Rex, let's finish. Emily, let's finish. Strong, no one left behind. As the elders, let's spend time together. Let's break bread together. They were in one accord before Pentecost, and they were in one accord after Pentecost. One accord means they had a unanimous mind. They waited for the promise of the Father with one mind. After they received the gift, they were with one mind. They didn't have two separate doctrines. They had one doctrine, one mind, one baptism, one spirit. There is no such thing as two different doctrines. Those that greatly believed received the word and were baptized and remained in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread with prayers. And they remained in the temple daily. I'm going to finish. You know why I'm blessed and I'm done? My wife knows that I got to finish. She knows that I won't always be here. She's aware of that already. Because all these hours of praying in the Spirit have changed what I know I got to do for the Father. She knows what lies ahead. What is it? I can't tell you. It would be improper. As he told me to be quiet, she knows that there's days where I'm not going to be around. She knows that. If you're not praying in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, you'll never know your full calling in God. You'll never know your true calling in God. Now you're going to be guessing the rest of your life. But you spend time praying in the Spirit, He will guide your step and tell you what you are to be. And only through the Spirit. Make no mistake, your carnal mind can do nothing for you but deceive you. I know I got work to do in Plainview, Texas. I know that. I got work to do there. And I'm going to finish that work. And I know after that, there's other things that I have to do. And I'm going to do them. And I'm blessed because my wife is in one accord with me, knowing that I belong to the Father. She knows that. My wife was made to be mine. She was made. She came out of her mother's womb to be my wife. We are compatible. She knows what I have to do. Come with the Holy Ghost on this journey, my friends. Your time is now. Right now is your time. Reevaluate. Reevaluate your life. Reevaluate your inconsistencies. Reevaluate your time. Reevaluate what you want in life and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. pray in the Spirit. Amen. Pray in the Spirit. Come with me on this journey. Amen. Amen. Did you receive something? Are we going forward? Holy, are we going forward? Kathy, are we going forward? Barbara, are we going forward? Family prayers, are we going forward?
Yes.
I said, are we going forward?
Yes.
No quit, no surrender. We soldier, we march on. No one left behind. We soldier. We soldier to the end. We soldier to the end. We do not quit. Melody, do we finish this? We finish. Alex, do we finish?
Yes,
Kevin, Renee, Carl, yes, Emily, Malene, we finish. We have to finish. The mountain is ours. We lock and load. We return fire. And we finish to the end, to the last breath that we utter. We finish. Reuben, we finish. Is Jacob here, my friend Jacob? Jacob, we finish. We finish, Jacob. We finish. We open up that eyes, Jacob, in glory land. We behold that crown of glory. We behold the Lamb of God. Every meal that we passed up will be well worth it. Every hour in tongues that we uttered up will be worth it. We finished, Jacob. We have to finish. Ralph, are we going to finish? We're going to finish, Ralph. Men, this Friday, me and Reuben got together yesterday and we talked for 2 or 3 hours. We had a good time. This Friday, I got my prayer time. Some of you want to come fellowship. I'm there all day long from 7:30 to about 5:30 every day. Friday morning, if you want to come over, drink a cup of coffee. I know Reuben has something he has to go to on Friday. If you want to come and talk, Jacob, Ralph, we want to talk about the word, about revival, about God's glory. If you're available, come about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and let's talk. Let's talk about the kingdom. Let's talk about this outpouring, Julio. I'll be there for your men as your brother. Not as a pastor, as your brother. I want to hear what God's laying in your heart. So Friday, men, if you want women, get together. Get together, man. Get together. This Friday, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's my day. Friday, want to come over? 9:30, 9 o'clock, I'll be there. Let's sit down. Let's drink coffee. Let's talk. Let's talk about the women. How mean they are, how they can't cook. Amen. Are you with me? Are we going to finish? Corey, we going to finish, Corey? Es todo. Tocho morocho. Stand with me. Were you edified today? Rex, are we going to finish? Marsha, are we going to finish? Healed Homer's going to finish, Marsha. Glory to God. Talked to the pastor yesterday. He said that he preached for 2 solid hours yesterday. That's not including worship. He said, Homer, I don't know how I did it. I went for 2 solid hours. He said it was incredible. So I don't feel bad anymore. I don't feel bad anymore. No church this Friday night. I will be at a football game. So Mockley plays at Palm of the Ridge. Come support a Mockley. We'll probably lose, but it don't matter. I still love our kids. Did we have a blast tonight?
Yes, sir.
We're going to finish this, man.